friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always glad to say that it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you, the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, is He yours? If He isn't, He wants to be. If He isn't, He can be. If He isn't, He came to be. The Word of God says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now look, friend, if that's you, if today you don't know for sure you'll die, when you die, you're going to heaven. If you don't know for sure that when you die, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, friend, listen, I got good news for you. Jesus will save you. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. All you got to do, here's your work. You've got to realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Be willing to repent of your sins and then trust Christ as your Savior. I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, He'll do a great thing if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. Well, I'd like to see you saved. I'd like to hear maybe from you and say, you know what, preacher? I've given my life to Christ. I'm serving Him. I'm on my way to heaven. I know that my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hey, listen, friend, that can happen to you today. It certainly can. Well, Debbie and I are excited about the program, excited about the message and the song that we feel like we've been led to do. And I've opened my Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I've got a song queued up that Debbie has done. I'll tell you what, it's one of her favorite songs that she has done. She has written some beautiful music, has she not? She certainly has. It is a blessing. I believe it's got a touch of God on it. I do. I know she's got a touch of God on her life. So we're going to do the song. The title of it is, Oh, What an Honor. And I believe you'll enjoy it when she gets done with that. I'll be back with the message this morning or today out of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hey, again, thanks for tuning in. Debbie and I love you. We certainly appreciate you. Enjoy this song.
Last night I was dreaming. I stood in a place, standing in the midst of a throne. Like a little girl in all of her dreams, I was dressed in royalty. I wondered how this could be, for I'm just a pauper, you see. Then I heard a thundering voice. It was speaking to me. For you I paid a great price. One day on Calvary. Oh, what an honor to serve a king. He owns it all. He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor to serve a king. When I awoke, I realized it was only a dream. Then I heard a still small voice saying one day it'll be a reality. Oh, what an honor to serve a king. He owns it all. He owns everything. Hallelujah. Oh, what an honor to serve a king. Oh, what an honor. Oh, what an honor to serve a king. He owns it all. He owns everything. Hallelujah, just praising His name. Oh, what an honor. Serve a king. royalty, standing in the midst of a throne, just praising the King. Oh,
certainly is an honor to serve the King. It's wonderful to know Him and the free pardon and forgiveness of sin. It's wonderful to know that He's my Savior. It's wonderful to know that He loves me, and one day soon, I believe, He's coming back for me. Now, not only me, but for all of those who put their faith and trust in Him, and that could mean you, friend. You don't want to be left behind. On that great day when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Listen to me, friend. You don't want to be left behind, so you need to get ready. If you are not ready, you need to get ready. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to pick up reading in verse 9, read down through and include the beginning, if not all, of verse 11. And the Word of God says, and this is the Word of God through the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth. He said, listen now, wherefore, he's summing some things up, and I'll just make brief mention of the eight verses that are above this, but he said, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. And what a great phrase that is. Now listen to how grave this is. Listen to how serious we ought to take this passage of Scripture. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, before we go any farther in this or further in this, whatever is the correct word to use right there, this is referring to the believer. And I'll say more about that in a minute. It's not a judgment to see whether or not one is saved. Friend, listen, if you're at this judgment, you're saved on your way to heaven. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's a serious judgment. It is a judgment. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now listen to the beginning of verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I want to talk to you today about this thought, about this text. Something worth seeking for. Something worth seeking for. I'm going to tell you, this passage of Scripture to me is very sobering for the child of God. Listen, I'm talking about people who are saved. I'm talking about people whose sins are under the blood. I'm talking about people who are sealed with the Spirit of God, who possess the earnest of the Spirit in their heart. I'm talking about people who know that their names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know I'm talking about people who know their sins are under the blood. Let me tell you something, friend. It's a serious thing that we consider, and there ought to be something here that you and I both take into deep account. It's something worth seeking for. And you say, what is that, preacher? Well, I'll tell you in just a moment. When we come to this fifth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, we come to a chapter that is dealing directly with the saved, with people that have been redeemed, people that have been washed with the blood, people that call themselves Christians because they are, people that have been blood washed, people that have been born from above, been born again by the Spirit and the water of the Word of God. They're saved people. They're Christians. They're walking with Christ, walking for Christ. They're working. They're laboring. They're looking. They're loving. They're longing for the second coming of Christ. But listen to this warning, if you will. It's mighty. It's great. And it comes after something that Paul tells us in verses 1 through 8, that there ought to be no fear in us about the fact that one day this earthly body will lay down or be given up. But then, thank God, when we lose the earthly body, we have a heavenly body. We have one where we know with assurance and with certainty that we will not be left naked or found naked. But thank God, listen, though we're absent from this body, we'll be present with the Lord in another body. So he begins the chapter speaking to the church. We is used, the plural pronoun we is used by the Apostle Paul in this 21 verse chapter, which refers to the believer in Christ. It refers to those who are called Christians, those who are followers of Christ, those who belong to Christ. He's talking to believers only. That's exactly what this is about. But can I tell you, sir, ma'am, when you get down to the end of this chapter, it'll talk to us that are saved about the ministry that we have been given, the part of the ministry that Christ has left us, and that is to be ambassadors for Christ, and to preach the ministry of reconciliation to lost men and women, boys and girls like you, that proclaims a message that you too can be saved. You too can be reconciled to God. You too can be born again and know without a shadow of doubt that your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. But let's begin this little message this morning looking at verse 9. Now listen to what he said. He said, wherefore. I've been taught when you get to into the Word of God, when you find a wherefore or a therefore, that you stop and look back and see why it's therefore. See, well, what it is therefore. And you know what? Paul was summing things up. Paul said, now look, I've already told you we're going to heaven. That's nothing to fear. That's something to rejoice. That's something to settle in your heart. That's something to live on confidently. That's something to give you peace and assurance. But he says, wait just a minute. Wait just a minute, beginning here with verse 9, down to verse 11 at least, maybe even 12. There is something to fear. There is something that we ought to consider very deeply, very carefully. There is something, friend, that we ought to have a great ambition about. There is something that we might work towards, that we might be intentional about and do everything that we can, friend, to seek after, to make sure that things are right in that day of judgment. He said, wherefore, listen to what Paul said, we labor. I'm glad he included me in that. If you're saved, he's included you into that. You say, what's that mean, preacher? Well, the word labor, it's interesting. The word ambition is interesting. No, it is the word labor, which means ambition. Excuse me. I'll get it right here in a minute. You know what it's talking about? Paul is saying, listen, here in essence, we ought to seek after something. And that is honor. We ought to be ambitious about this. Listen, in light of the fact, friend, that Paul has given us this information about the fact that you and I'll say more about it in the next verse, are going to the judgment seat of Christ, that we're going to the Bema to see, friend, what kind of rewards we will have or lose. It's not about our salvation. It's not a place to determine whether we are saved or lost. That's determined down here. That's determined this side of the grave. That's determined before eternity sets in on somebody. But Paul said, listen, I want you to know I've got an ambition. I'm seeking after something. I'm seeking after being accepted of God. Now look, he goes over in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, the last part of that verse, and he says, listen, I'm accepted in the Beloved. But here Paul says, here's what I labor for. Here's what my ambition is. Here's what I'm seeking after, that I may be accepted of Him. Paul said, I know I'm in Him. I know I'm already there. I know that's my standing. I know it's permanent. I know it's unshakable. I know nothing can change that. Not time, not Satan, not all the demons of hell. That is sure, that's certain. Nothing can shake my standing before God, which is permanent, which is eternal, which is given to me by the grace of God. But wait just a minute. Paul said, I'm laboring not to be saved, but because I am saved. And I'm laboring, friend. That's my ambition. That's my life's goal, that I might hear Him say, to put it in the way Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful. Hey, let me tell you something. I don't mean to bust your bubble, sir, ma'am. If you're saved, listen, unless you do well, He's not going to say, well done. Listen, we ought to be seeking after something. We ought to seek after something that's worth being sought for. And that's, listen, to be accepted of Christ, to be pleasing unto Christ when we get before Him and He examines our lives, our hearts, our motives, our intentions, our ability, when He lays all about us out before us at the judgment bar that He's going to sit at and inspect His children so that we'll see kind of what we'll be in eternity and we'll see whether or not we receive any rewards at all. So there we find the desire. We find Paul's deep desire, friend. Listen, it was in him. Listen, it was his, how that motivated him. It was his goal, his aim, his ambition. And let me say this and then I'll move on. It ought to be ours. Now look at our destiny. He said in verse 10, said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the bema. Now listen, friend, the Word of God teaches at least seven judgments. Hey, I'm glad, I don't know about you, but I'm glad my sins were taken care of at Calvary. I'm glad when Jesus was suspended between the heaven and the earth. God laid on Him in some miraculous way that I don't understand according to Isaiah 53 and 6. My sin, your sin, and sin of all the world. He died potentially for everyone, but it's only effectual or actual for those who trust Him as their Savior, who call upon Him and ask Him to save them and deliver them, who is willing to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead. But I'll tell you what, listen, that's our destiny. We're going to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to the bema. We're going there, friend, to have our works that we do in this life for Christ, in the name of Christ, by those who claim to know Him. We're going to have our works, our deeds, he goes on to say, done in this body to determine whether or not they're good or bad. Oh, listen, friend, this is a serious thing. Do you hear me? We ought not take lightly this. Let me get a little ahead of myself. Look at beginning of verse 11, if you will, where Paul said, who knowing therefore the terror of God. Listen, let me tell you something. Christ is our Savior. Do you understand that? Say amen. Well, listen, we got in while He is the Lamb of God, which came to take away the sin of the world. But let me tell you what, friend, listen, that's just one part of His character. That's just one side of Him. He's not only the Lamb of God, but He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And listen, when we get to this judgment seat, we're going to stand before a judge. We're going to give proper account. It's going to be a serious thing. And listen, He's got eyes. He's got eyes as if they were a flame of fire. I don't have time to get into this, but if you want to follow this up a little bit, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I don't know where to pick it up, and look at about verse 7, 8, or 9, where Paul talks about the foundation that he has laid in verse 10, how a man ought to take heed, how he builds thereupon, and how our works that are symbolized in gold, silver, and precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble, will be tested at that judgment. Oh, listen, friend, and notice not all in the beginning of verse 10, our destiny, the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, but look at, if you will, the deciding. He said, listen now, we're going before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, that means individuals, that means me, that means you, may receive the things done in His body according to that He had done, whether it be good or bad. I don't know about you, friend, but listen, I fear this judgment. You may not, but boy, I do. I dread it. I dread it. Friend, listen. Oh, how I pray that I'll have something that will endure the fire that's to test my works and your works at this judgment, this righteous judgment seat, this place of righteousness. And listen, I want to tell you, I want all the grace and mercy that God can pile up around me. Oh, how I pray that I have one of the five crowns to be able to lay at His feet, as we see those elders do in the book of Revelation chapter 4. Hey, listen, friend, it's a place of deciding. Do you know what Jesus will check? He already knows this. The Word of God says in the book of Jeremiah 17 and 9, or 9 and 17, I get numbers backwards too many times. He said, listen, He said, the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In verse 9, 17 and 9 is where it's at. He goes on in verse 10 to proclaim. He said, I, the Lord, I know. That's what He is saying. Who knows? He goes on in verse 10 and say, I, the Lord, meaning I, the Lord, know, because I try the reins. I judge them. I check out the motive. I check out the attitude. I check out the intent. I check out the purpose. I check out the goal. I look at the inside. I look at the heart. I look at the thoughts of the mind. I look at the motivation and all of those things. I don't just look at the deed done. I just don't look at the external work that is performed. But I go below the surface. I go to the heart where the issues of life are at. I go to the very foundation of this. And God knows. I don't know, but God does know. Now look, we ought to have a desire. We ought to have ambition. We ought to long to be accepted of Him. We ought to long to be in the right state when we go before Him, so that we, like 2 John 8 says, won't lose a full reward, but that we'll get a whole reward. And Paul goes on to say, listen, that ought to be our desire. Our destiny is the judgment seat of Christ. It'll be a place of deciding. And listen, friend, it'll be a place of determination. He says this. No, he says that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Oh, look, people may pat me and you on the back. They may brag on us, or we brag on them, or pat them on the back. But all I'll tell you, friend, only you and God knows your motive. And let's be honest, you may not know it as well as God does. There may be a blind spot in the reason behind what you do. You may be doing it, you think, for one thing. But down in the depths of your heart, bless God, listen, there's something that ought... Hey, listen, we ought to seek. We ought to be... there's something we're seeking for. We ought to seek for it. To be pleasing with the Lord. To please Him. To see Him smile. To see Him look at us and say, here's some gold. Here's some silver. Here's a precious stone. Oh, friend, what a day it'll be for some folks to stand there and all of their works, like wood, hay, or stubble, be consumed by the fire. Oh, they'll be saved, the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us they will be saved. Their soul will be saved, but their works will be burned up because they were not motivated by love, motivated by the desire to glorify God, to praise Him, to see someone saved, to edify the church, to glorify the name of Christ. Hey, listen, friend, there ought to be a determination because of this, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Sometimes I wonder, sometimes as a pastor, as a preacher, of a declarer of the Word of God, I wonder if God's people get this. I wonder if they understand why I would preach on this, why I would lift this passage of Scripture up and say, hey, listen, we're going to a judgment seat. And look, it's a terrible place. Oh, it's a holy place. It's a righteous place. It's a place where we'll find our Savior, but He'll be the judge there. He'll be my judge. He'll be your judge. And hey, whether the children of God get it or not, I'm determined to keep warning, to keep proclaiming that we ought to do all that we can do, that we ought to become all that we can become, and we ought to do it today because we may not have tomorrow. Oh, look, there's something worth seeking for. And that, friend, listen, is to hear Him say, well done. It is to be accepted of the Beloved. We know we're in Him. We already know that. But we ought to want. We ought to desire. We ought to seek after, friend. We ought to work towards being accepted of Him. That was Paul's ambition. The year is still new. The year is still new. And you know what we ought to do? Bless God. We ought to determine, friend. We ought to determine that we, you and I, friend, me and you as the followers of Christ, we ought to determine by the grace of God that we are going to be accepted of the Beloved. Oh, let's do that. Do you hear me? Let's do that. Oh, wouldn't it be a great thing? Wouldn't it be a great thing today to know that? To be able to live without a doubt, friend, that we're going to the right place, going the right way, knowing, friend, knowing how that Jesus is ours and we are His. Listen, it's something worth seeking for. It won't happen by accident. You've got to be intentional about this. And oh, listen again to verse 11. And then I've got to go very shortly. I've got to go. Paul said this. He's preaching to Christians. He's using the word we 26 times. As I told you, he was using the word we earlier. I don't know that I gave the times to you, but I want you to know, friend, listen. I want you to know that Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. May I persuade you today? May I persuade you to do everything there is to do. To do it. Hey, seek after it. Hey, repent if you have to. Get on your face before God if that's what you need to do. Tell Him that you've sinned. Tell Him that you've failed. And tell Him that you've been playing church. And now you want to live for Him. Oh, listen, friend. I beg of you, do it. Do it today. Would you do that? Do it today. And listen, I'm sure God will hear our prayer.
Under the next time. That's a song that can be a blessing to your soul and have some way to your heart. Because we will make time for Him every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us. We will be praying about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is both your prayers and your listening ears. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.